Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news as we discuss Michael Carrick's secret signing. Manchester United want a big deal done before the start of the World Cup. Who is it going to be? Big news coming in. We'll talk about that. Also, Bruno Fernandes and his big transfer regret. He's been doing an interview talking ahead of the end of the season, the assist record, what he wants to win at Manchester United and his big transfer regret. We'll talk about that as well. Also, a bit of a clear out, players heading out the door, concerns coming out of United for players that won't go out the door, and another midfielder that United might be moving for with a British passport who doesn't play in the Premier League. We'll talk about that as well. And as always, your debate. Also, if we've got time, and I'm sure we will, I do want to pick up on the PR around Carrick as well. Look, he's going to get the job. I don't think we need to glaze what he's done. He's won games. He's got us in the Champions League. I don't think we need to keep sitting here and going, what a fantastic job, what great football. The football hasn't been good. The results have been good. The real work starts now. Can't live off this. You know, this last 4 months, results good, Champions League good. But beyond that, lots of issues. The real work starts now. The biggest mistake we can make is start glazing what's happened and thinking that's the future. Because I really don't think it is. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done. We'll talk about that as well. But first of all, let's start off. Now, look, we haven't had that much in relation to our information. Heading into the summer, I'm hoping we're going to get more. But if you remember last summer, we got quite a lot of things. Onana, we knew in March. Delap, we knew early April. There was a few other bits as well. So our first big story for you this summer transfer window was probably Morgan Rogers a couple of weeks ago, but this is fresh off the press. Is it something to do with the kits? Is it something to do with, you know, backing Carrick early on? Is it something to do with the World Cup shortening the transfer window? Man United have a big signing lined up before the World Cup. This is coming in from our source. Manchester United have a big signing lined up before the World Cup. Expect a big deal before the World Cup for Manchester United. So, look, as I said, I don't know. We'll talk about who it is, but I don't know whether this is, you know, they know the fan base isn't too sure on Carrick. Let's get a bit of positivity. Or whether it's we've got a new kit. Let's get somebody in it. But definitely United are advanced on a deal for before the World Cup. That's what I got told. They also have a couple of concerns around Onana and Rashford, which we'll talk about in a moment, but let's stay positive. Who is this Carrick secret signing? And Carrick's fully aware of it, on board with it, and has sanctioned it, and it's been worked on for a while. So look, I think it's interesting. A lot of people saying Belabor. I'm hoping it's Anderson. I don't know who it is. I don't think the source knows who it is either. I think that it is quite a well-kept secret, hence Carrick's secret signing. There's four people I think it could be, but I trust the information and we'll know by June the 7th, won't we? Which is not actually that far away. Man United, big summer signing done before the World Cup. I think, the proof will be in the pudding. But I think these two bits of information we've got are going to be right. I think we will sign Morgan Rogers, and I think there will be a big signing before the World Cup. I don't think it'll be Morgan Rogers, though. I think we will sign Morgan Rogers. I think that'll be later. But I think the big signing will be a midfielder. And I've got to say, it's a positive. It is a positive. And I think this is like, I think some people just want to be negative, 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 or positive, positive, positive. I choose to be real. I love Manchester United. I want us to be successful. I think we've got absolute prats in charge of the football club and they are quite draining. But occasionally they will do good things.
The hope is that they start to do more good things than bad things, because they seem to do more bad things than good things. But it would be a good thing to have a big signing signed before the World Cup. And the World Cup's not relevant. The World Cup is just starting on June the 9th. So if we've got a big signing in before June the 9th, traditionally that's 3 weeks before we normally do it. And we need to do a lot of summer. So look, I'm encouraged by this. I don't think it's spin and bluster. I think it makes a lot of sense. You have to do stuff for the team. It's not about PR. We need signings. We need signings, and we need to be quick. I also think you've got to be quick because the market's going to get inflated. So as soon as Anderson goes wherever he goes, that's going to inflate the market, as we saw last year with attackers. And also, yes, Carrick probably does need a little bit of a boost for his profile, a little bit of excitement around him, because I think a lot of people look at Carrick and see Solskjaer. So I think a big signing helps. And on top of that, I think that getting it done early sends a statement of what we might do for the rest of the summer. So Manchester United lining up a big midfield signing before the World Cup starts. The next step is who that is. Now, a lot of people are talking about Belaba. In fact, Laurie Whitwell in The Athletic, I actually saw something from him this morning where he said, let me get you this. This is news as well. I think that there is an awareness at Man United that you've got to replace Casemiro immediately, at least one midfielder. And I mean, that's another point as well. I hadn't even thought about that, because obviously our information is different to this. So Laurie Whitwell's saying that another reason why they might want to do something is because they would want to send a statement that Casemiro has been replaced immediately. So that's another reason as well. I think quick movement on that should be anticipated, and I think there's been work done to that end. Belaba is the one I could see happening, just because of the fact that they got close to him last year. And I know he hadn't had a great season, but I feel he is finishing it strong. I mean, Laurie Whitwell maybe needs to watch a bit more football. He's had one good game against Chelsea and suddenly he's finishing the season strong. PR man, client journalism as per usual. But look, where I do agree with him, I think Belaba, you know, is certainly going to be somebody that, you know, is. I said two things in January. I'm 90% sure Carrick will get the job, and I'm 90% sure we'll sign Belaba. And typically, we had some people in the community going, here he is moaning again, just being negative. Well, hello, Carrick's going to be the manager and Belaba could be the midfielder. And you can check the video in January. I said it in January when Carrick was appointed. I'm 90% sure Carrick will get the job, and I'm 90% sure we'll go for Belaba. And I remember somebody saying, why are you so confident? And I said, because I know this club. They lie. They'll talk about best in class. They'll talk about Elliot Anderson. They'll talk about Enrique. They'll talk about Tuchel. And what they'll actually do is they'll use the best in class argument to calm you down for a few months. And then when they've calmed you down, they'll kick you in the nuts again. Basically, that's United. When things are bad and you're hurting, they calm you down with lies. And then when you're calm, they kick you again. And then they get the calm blanket out again. So I knew they'd give it to Carrick. We hadn't even won any games and I knew they'd give it to Carrick. And I know they'll go back in for Belaba because it's easy. There's no competition. You know, you look at Elliot Anderson, there's loads of people that want him. Wharton, people want him. Belaba, nobody wants him. No Man City, no Arsenal, no Bayern Munich. Nobody wants Belaba. There is no competition for him at all, which is a red flag in itself, but nobody's bidding for Belaba. Nobody wants him. Chelsea, no. Nobody wants him. So United will love that. He also wants to come to us. United will love that. So I agree. I think he is probably a very, very good shout for being that signing. However, I think there are three other players it could be. I think Anderson is still, I have a feeling about Anderson. I still think that's a possibility. And, I would take Belaba as the second midfielder if we got Anderson, by the way, as I've always said, because, you know, we've got Anderson. So I still think Anderson is a possibility. I just have a feeling about it. And he is going to announce where he's going very, very soon. There was a very good article yesterday talking about the Elliot Anderson position and basically saying that he will want that sorted before the World Cup. Forest are staying up. They're not going to be in the Europa League final. Marianakis will be happy to discuss a deal with people now. And every club that's in for him will want to get that done before the World Cup. So he is definitely a possibility as being the signing we make before the World Cup. As is Belaba, I think that the third one is a bit of a stretch, but I do think that Tchouaméni could be done before the World Cup. It needs to move quickly. But once Mourinho's in, they can then decide on midfielders and then they can do that deal. And I think the other player is Tonali, because Newcastle won't be in Europe and Newcastle will want to get deals done quicker than they did with Isak last summer. So look, Baleba, Anderson, Tchouaméni, Tonali. I think one of those players is going to be the big summer signing before the World Cup that we're talking about here. But what I do know is that this source was very, very good last summer, has been very good on some other things. And what they're saying is, they're not giving the name, they're saying there's definitely going to be a Man United midfield signing before the World Cup and it'll be a big statement signing. So let's wait and see who it is. But look, I think it's a positive as long as it's the right player. And even if it's the wrong player, I suppose it's still a positive that we're getting business done. I mean, we can't be shocked if they go and sign Baleba, because, to be honest, I don't trust this board. So why would they make the right decision? But, you know, ultimately, we do want to see United active in this transfer window. My only issue is that we've spent all season talking about Elliot Anderson. And if he signs for Manchester City, what message does that send to us? You know, we operate in the same league as Man City. They're a rival of ours. We lost the Youth Cup final to them last night. They're our City rival. If Anderson, the player that we want, goes to Manchester City, what message is that saying or sending to this fan base about where we're looking to be over the next few years? Because we can't keep missing out on targets to a rival. So if that doesn't happen, I think that's a big statement. I still hope it can happen. And, you know, Tonali we seem to be just avoiding because of price. But as I said, look, I don't disagree that it could be Baleba. I don't really understand the deal. I mean, I'd love to meet the data dean who is telling the club that they think it's a good deal. I'll repeat my concerns again. He's massively overpriced. He's been shit all season. He doesn't pass the ball very much. And his attributes don't even match up anywhere near to what Casemiro is. So I'm confused as to what it is they see, because he fails the eye test and he fails the stats test. And he's also a kid. He's also a project. So I don't get what we've seen in him at all, that they think he can come into a Manchester United shirt and do well. But look, a little bit like Carrick, it might work. And if it works, then credit goes to those people who think it's going to work. But if it doesn't work, I will not be silent. And I don't think many other people will be about, well, we knew all this before and you took that risk. And the big problem is with Baleba is we shouldn't be paying any more than £50 million. And we're looking at 70. It's too much money. Yeah. AVFM says he's Premier League proven. What? In what sense is he Premier League proven? You know, if you're going to write something in capital letters, do you not think that you should back it up with a bit more than he's Premier League proven? James Tarkowski's Premier League proven. Should we buy him at centre-back? Wizard's Premier League proven. Should we buy him as our backup striker? What does Premier League proven mean? You've played a few games in the Premier League. We're talking about a Casemiro replacement here, mate. We're not talking about somebody who's played for Brighton in the Premier League. You know, and also, I as somebody just said there, Baleba is such a media obsessive as well. You know, he's always posting stuff about, are you a Baleba and stuff like that. I think that's another red flag as well. I don't think we need another cheerleader in the dressing room. I don't think we need another person in the dressing room who's all about fun and vibes. I think we need serious people in the dressing room. I don't think we need a piss taker. So I think it's a bad move. But, you know, United are full of that stuff. Earlier you all get with the programme, easier it will be. Say his name, great show last night, Mark, says Keel Robinson. Thank you very much. Slazy says, player in is fun and all, but do you have any news about players out? Any clubs interested in Onana, Xerxes, Malacia and Ugarte? We're literally going to talk about that in a moment, Slazy. Patrick Lynch says, I expect there will be a lot of clips floating around of Anderson at Old Trafford after Sunday. It'll be a lot of reading into everything that happens Sunday. I mean, look, Patrick, we've got the preview later, but I do wonder if that's an opportunity with Anderson. at Old Trafford. I mean, look, there's a couple of things that, look, I've said I've got a funny feeling about Anderson to Man United, and nothing is going to make me more excited than signing Elliot Anderson and not signing Belaiba. I mean, that will get me excited. If Anderson signs for Man City and we get Belaiba, I'm not going to cry, but I'll be like, you know, the fuck. Whereas if we sign Anderson and Belaiba stays at Brighton, I'll be absolutely ecstatic. So, look, he's coming to Old Trafford on Sunday. It'll be a good atmosphere. Hopefully that will be, if he's undecided, that'll be the thing that makes him tip that way. And of course, we saw yesterday that little clip of Pep Guardiola walking around the centre circle at the Etihad with, you know, all the trophies he's won. Why would you do that if you're staying? So, there might be something there. Agent Mainu as well, says Plume. Carrick and Anderson are similar players, says Ray. They're not. I'm sorry, they're not, Ray. I don't know how old you are, but Michael Carrick was more of a Busquets type of player. Anderson's not like Carrick. Anderson's definitely more box to box. Carrick wasn't box to box. I think Carrick can help Anderson's game and evolve it, but I wouldn't say that they were similar players. Ray also says, I think Anderson is achievable. Minimum 70, maximum 100. He walks into United's team, but he needs to compete for a start at City. Well, I do agree with you on that. And if we get Rodgers, that means Dorgu has to be a left back, says JSD Plays. Well, there's a question for you. I mean, I wasn't going to go there. Would you be happy signing Morgan? And I can't run it as a poll because there's too many. It's not straightforward. Would you be happy signing Morgan Rodgers as a 10-stroke winger over a proper winger or a left back? Because I think if we spend £80 million on Morgan Rodgers, we're not going to spend money on a left back. And I think, as I've said to you before, I do like Morgan Rodgers, but it's a bit like signing Mason Mount. I felt that Mason Mount was a luxury player that we didn't need, and I feel like Morgan Rodgers is a luxury player that we don't need. I feel like Morgan Rodgers is Michael Carrick going, I like Morgan Rodgers, I had him at Middlesbrough, I think he's a great player. Well, is that not a little bit of naivety? Because I think Morgan Rodgers is a great player as well, but if I was the manager of Man United, I wouldn't sign him because I don't need that player. I've got Bruno, I've got Ahmad, I've got Cunha, I've got Mbeumo. I don't need another number 10 who can do a job off the wing. I need a winger or I need a left back. And I'd spend my money on that before I'd spend it on Morgan Rodgers, as much as I like him.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Slazy says, I'll just do this from Slazy quickly because it's a super chat, players out the door. So a couple of things just to add in as this morning as well. So from the same source, from our source, that Man United are going to make a big signing before the World Cup. We'll see who that's going to be. Could be Anderson, could be Belaiba, in my opinion. It'll be one of the two. In fact, I will say that. I think it's Anderson or Belaiba. I can't see it being anybody else. I think it would be Anderson or Belaiba holding up the new shirt before the World Cup. Let's wait and see. But also from the same source, there are increasing concerns around Carrington about Onana and Rashford. Now, the reason for that is that Onana is coming back on $125,000 a week because that's the Champions League bonus. And Man United know that they can't sell him because no one will buy him. And also, even if somebody offered $20 million for Onana, they're not going to give him $125,000 a week. So United are fully aware that they've got a problem with Onana. They don't want him back. They don't want him back training. That won't happen. But they've got to find a solution. Now, he's not playing in the World Cup. I don't think he's playing in the World Cup. No, he's not playing in the World Cup. He is happy to come back and train and let Man United find a solution because he's got the power. He's got years left on his contract and he's got 125 grand a week, which they can't take away from him. So Man United are a bit concerned about this because they really do need to find somewhere that they can loan him out and cover off a lot of those wages. Now, if they can't find somewhere, the problem they're going to have is they might have to loan him somewhere who will give him 50 grand a week and then pay 75 grand themselves. So just be wary that United are concerned about Onana in the sense that they are saving money in some areas, you know, Casemiro's wage, but Casemiro's wage will be replaced by the new player. It won't be as much, but then you might have to pay 75 grand a week for Onana to go out on loan. Remember, we didn't reduce Maguire's wage. A lot of people were saying that was going to come down. It hasn't. So there is a bit of concern about Onana. There's confidence that they'll be able to find him a club, but they're not confident they'll find a club that will pay his wages and they can't sell him. So United are going to have to subsidise Onana's loan by up to 50%, which is what? 75 grand a week. With Rashford, I think there's a confusion at United, but it's Barcelona. So the way United look at it with Rashford is he's happy in Barcelona. He's done a good job in Barcelona. Barcelona got a good deal. They only had to pay his wages. There was no signing on fee. And they have a good deal in a £25 million obligation to buy. But there's talks taking place next week between Barcelona and Rashford. Now, there is an expectation that Rashford wants to stay there so much, he will take a pay cut. But Barcelona is still playing around saying we'd like to loan him for another year. So, again, United are quite concerned because, one, they want the wage gone. But two, I think they were banking on the 25 million quid, which is a lot of money. You know, when United are paying £30 million a year just in debt interest, that £25 million is a lot of money to United, especially when they've had no European or Cup runs this year. So there's a bit of concern around Rashford and a bit of confusion as well, because he has had a good season at Barcelona and Man United feel that they presented a very, very good deal to Barcelona for them to sign him. Like Napoli and Rasmus, they're going to pay 40 for Rasmus. And they're happy to do that. But Barcelona won't pay 25 for Rashford. So there's a bit of concern. What United do not want to happen, despite some public reports, is Rashford to come back and be stuck in a position where he doesn't really want to be there. They don't really want to be paying his wages. And where would he go? So Barcelona, as we reported months ago, are in the strong position here. The hope is that a deal can be done with Barcelona. The concern is if Barcelona just go, thank you very much for everything you've done, but we're moving in a different direction, which would be ridiculously harsh on Rashford especially. But look, it's certainly one to watch. And of course, one of the overarching things here as well is that with Onana and with Rashford, this is time. United can't do more than one thing at once. So if you're working on an Onana loan and you're working on the Rashford thing, you're not working on recruitment. So again, there is that little bit of concern there as well. Xerxes as well is on the move. I think none of us were surprised by that. I do feel like with Xerxes though, the Sunderland game as an audition was an absolute joke. I mean, if we were considering keeping Xerxes, he should have been getting 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there, because he was rusty last week in a graveyard shift and he did play very badly. But I felt that a lot of the reaction to Xerxes was a disgrace, to be honest with you. You know, some of the press, you know, get him out of the club, he's a joke and all that. I mean, 45 minutes for the first time in about 3 months, you know, is insufficient. But I think the flip side to that is Xerxes needs to go anyway. And that's potentially money. With Ugarte, Malacia will go. I don't know. I think Malacia might be out of contract. Let me just very quickly round up this because I don't want to come back to outgoings anyway. I want to talk about this Bruno transfer regret. So yeah, Malacia is out of contract this summer. So he's gone. June 26, Malacia's gone. Even United aren't stupid enough to give him a new contract. And then on Ugarte, probably another loan for Ugarte, because he's still like Onana, he's still got a few years left on his contract. No one's going to give us any money for him. I asked the question, how much would Ugarte be worth in the current market? Well, I'll ask it to you, but he's not worth 30. His market value in the world game at the moment is not even 30 million. We paid double that. So we won't be selling him because it'd be a huge loss and United don't do losses. Also, his wages are quite good, so it's going to be a subsidized loan again. We're probably going to end up paying some of his wages. So Ugarte will be a loan deal, I think, with regards to that. A few people saying, what about Mason Mount? Well, there was a story that came out about Mason Mount last night, actually, and it basically said United acknowledge it's been a challenging season for Mason Mount and he doesn't want to go anywhere. The truth with Mason Mount is that this is year... Is it year two or three? I mean, please don't tell me it's three. This can't be his third season at Man United. Mason Mount was signed when we had Rasmus. I think Rasmus, it's season three, isn't it? Fucking hell. Oh my God. He's had three seasons at Man United. Oh my God. If he didn't have a British passport, he would be getting pouters. And that's not his fault, but that is absolutely absurd. That is absolutely incredible. Three seasons we've had Mason Mount. I feel like he's still a new... This is how little Mason Mount's done in a Man United shirt. When someone says Mason Mount, I picture him in a Chelsea shirt. I still do not associate Mason Mount with a Man United shirt. I don't see him as a Man United player because we just don't see him. I still think Mason Mount, Chelsea. Three seasons. Fucking hell. That is... Well, it makes the update even worse. So United see him as a part of their plans for next season. He wants to stay. $250,000 a week. You know, you can criticise Rashford, you can criticise Inanna, you can criticise Ugarte, but Mason Mount, I mean... I saw he was doing an interview today about Sesko. Man, I don't care, mate. Fucking hell. Is that what they're doing now? Can you model the new shirt? Can you do an interview about Sesko? I mean, look, stranger things have happened. Luke Shaw, mysteriously, can play every week at the moment. Maybe because we're playing one game a week. But maybe Mason Mount can start doing that. But the scary thing about Mason Mount, the mic drop about Mason Mount is Man United have played one game a week. If you're a top footballer, you play two. Man United have played one game a week and he's still been injured about five times. So how is he going to deal next season with an increase in games? He won't. And people don't want to have this conversation, but Mason Mount can't stay fit for one game a week. How the bloody hell is he going to play two? It just won't work. But excuses. I don't think he's going anywhere is the answer. Right, let's move on. A midfielder that we've been linked to in the last 24 hours again is Jobe Bellingham at Dortmund. Would you be happy with Jobe Bellingham coming to Manchester United? Now, look, we need three midfielders. On the one hand, we will be linked to anybody who can play midfield in world football. On the other hand, we need three midfielders. So, you know... Who are the three midfielders? João Gomes is going to go to Atletico Madrid. We have been linked to Ederson. Obviously, we've been linked to Baleba, Anderson, Tchouaméni. But there is a hierarchy to the midfielders that we're going to sign. I think Jobe Bellingham is quite interesting because he has a British passport. And I do think you are right to acknowledge that Sir Jim Radcliffe and Jason Wilcox may well want more British players in a Man United shirt for various reasons. He hasn't, as somebody who's watched a lot of the Bundesliga this year, he hasn't been terrible in a Dortmund shirt, but he hasn't always been that good either. He'd certainly be a project if Man United went for him. Maybe it's a name we need to keep in the background, but it was a name that we were looking at the start of the season as well. The only reason I'm mentioning it, I'm not about to put it on the hotter meter. In fact, we will put the hotter meter on the screen now. I wouldn't say I'd put Jobe Bellingham on the hotter meter, but I do think he's probably a name that we should probably consider over the coming weeks. I mean, would I change that at the moment? I think the hotter meter is very relevant to who the secret signing is going to be. And I looked at it this morning. I probably wouldn't change that. 70%, 7 out of 10, Baleba. 60%, 6 out of 10, Anderson. Same with Ederson. And then you're heading 50-50 with people like Tonali, Wharton, Fernandez, and then Stiller as a 3. Why is Tchouaméni there? Because I don't really know where to pitch Tchouaméni at the moment. I think at the moment he's probably a 2 out of 10. I still think he could sign for United, but the heat is not there. We need a little bit more information because all that's coming out of Real Madrid is they like him. He doesn't want to leave. But if they want him to leave, he'd look at Man United. So until we know, well, Jose Mourinho has not been appointed yet. Until we know the intention of Mourinho, because to be honest with you, I think Tchouaméni might be the sort of player that Mourinho likes. When you look at his teams, I think he might like that type of player. So I wouldn't put Tchouaméni in there at the moment. I obviously wouldn't put Joe Bellingham in there at the moment, but things can change. And I think Joe Bellingham is probably somebody that we should at least bear in mind, considering we have been linked to him before. And he could be a player that Man United look at again, if we're being completely honest. Certainly. Let me talk about this Bruno Fernandes thing. Now, I suppose just as a prelude to this, what I would say about Bruno Fernandes is that, again, it's sort of this, like, I don't know how comfortable I am talking about how... players talking openly about who should sign for Manchester United. I think it just displays the honesty and power that Bruno Fernandes has at Manchester United, because he basically said this about Declan Rice. Declan Rice was made for Manchester United. I was really disappointed when he chose Arsenal. I don't know if a move was ever possible, but he would have been perfect for our club, not just a player, but for his personality as well. I think that, you know, I found that quite interesting. There was a few interesting things in the Bruno Fernandes interview, but he said, you know, Declan Rice, it's a different position and style of play. He's a player who doesn't need to assist as much. He doesn't need to score as much because the demands are different. The way Arsenal plays is different from the way we play. So we can't compare the players, but what we can say is he's been one of the most standout players from the Premier League this season. And, you know, effectively, it's a regret that we didn't sign him. He said, I've always said Rice was a player to play for Man United. I was really sad when he chose Arsenal. I thought he'd be perfect fit for our club. Let me say, you know, it's a new world, player coach Bruno, isn't it? It is a strange one to glow up a player for a rival so much and say that you're sad that they didn't sign for United. But it's a different world now. I mean, Roy Keane wouldn't have done it. Gary Neville wouldn't have done it. Nemanja Vidic wouldn't have done it. But in one way, I actually quite like it. I mean, we shouldn't listen to players. I'm not going to change that. I couldn't give a fuck if Bruno thinks we should sign Declan Rice or not, and the club shouldn't listen to him anyway. But on the other hand, I don't disagree with him that Declan Rice in a Man United shirt would massively improve our midfield. I mean, look, he's one of the best midfielders in the Premier League. So I think he, you know, but what I like about this, and I don't know Bruno's intent, you know, Bruno could just be sat there relaxed going, I like Declan Rice. It's a shame he didn't sign for Man United. On the other hand, he could be sat there going, that's the type of player that Man United need to buy and we don't do it. And that's why we fail. I don't know whether he's relaxed or whether he's motivated, but the point is, you know, Declan Rice chose Arsenal, but Man United didn't write a cheque for £100 million. And we're struggling to do that again for Tonali and Anderson. And, you know, I don't think Bruno's sending a message to the board. Maybe he is. But the message I take from it, and why I found it quite an interesting statement, because when your captain says, I was sad to see Declan Rice sign for Arsenal, I think he'd be perfect for Man United, that's the sort of signing we should be making. That, to me, it's true. You know, Declan Rice went from West Ham to Arsenal, is now one of the best midfielders in Europe. And he would have been perfect for us, and we didn't do anything. And here we are again with a midfield transfer market stretched out in front of us for the next 3 months. And there are players who can be as impactful as Declan Rice. You know, with all due respect to people like João Gomes, Ederson, Baleba, they ain't Declan Rice at West Ham. The closest things to Declan Rice at West Ham would be Tonali at Newcastle or Anderson at Forest, you know, and they're available. And they're going to cost, you know, £80 to £100 million, but United are going, it's too much. So I don't know whether Bruno's message is this, but I take the message that there's the captain of the club saying that Declan Rice would have been perfect for us and I was sad we didn't sign him. And here is a summer where you've got Tonali and Anderson, who are very similar positions to Rice, in very similar veins of form, at very similar prices, ready to go. And United are going too expensive. So if I take Bruno Fernandes saying, you know, I was sad we didn't get Declan Rice, he would have been perfect for us. Well, we have two midfielders in that similar situation now and the club are going too expensive. So, you know, you see what I mean? It's like, there's nothing we can do about Declan Rice. He's wearing an Arsenal shirt. But we didn't try and get him anyway. And Bruno's saying we should have done. He'd be perfect. But there are two midfielders that we could go and get that we might not get now. So I think it's a really important thing that Bruno says because he's right. You know, Declan Rice would have been a good signing for United, but he went to Arsenal and maybe would have chose Arsenal over us anyway. But there are other fish in the sea and there's two now. Three if you count Tchouaméni, if he becomes available. You've got to go and get those types of players. You know, Arsenal aren't out there signing Baleba or Edison or João Gomes. Arsenal are out there signing Tonalis and Declan Rices and so are Man City, and that's how you compete. When you're this far behind everybody else and they're making top-level signings, you can't make mediocre signings. So I absolutely think that, you know, the message from Bruno there for me is, yeah, we should have signed someone like Declan Rice, but we have got the opportunity to go and sign players like that now. And if we're being completely honest, this summer's Declan Rice is Elliot Anderson. Same price, same nationality, same league.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Similar type of club, Forest and West Ham. He is that player. He is that player. And what are United going to do about it? Patrick Lynch says they won't spend 80 million on an essential midfielder, but willing to spend it on Rodgers just seems very strange, says Patrick. Look, I agree, Patrick. I think that the summer transfer window is going to be very exciting. But exciting doesn't always mean satisfying. And I think that, you know, if we, let's say we spend 60 on Baleba and 80 on Rodgers, that's £140 million on players that I'm not absolutely sure we need. That £140 million could be spent on Anderson for 100 and, you know, maybe Fernandes or Scott or Stiller for 40, you know? So there's a better way to spend £140 million without talking about the players. You know, Rodgers and Baleba might be players that, you know, are decent, but can I spend that money better? Yes, I think I can. Yes, I think I can. Don't go for Job, get Baleba, Edison and Wharton, says Ava. I've got to say, I think that's a shit summer transfer window, mate. Nothing against Baleba, Edison and Wharton, but I don't think that's a very good midfield at all. For what's available, I would give that. And I think, you know what? That's something I do want to do because there's so many different combinations for Man United this summer. I think you've got to rank the three midfielders out of five. Out of 10. You can rank the transfer window out of 10, but I think we've also got to rank the three midfielders we get out of 10. I mean, let's play the game. Time to play the game. Okay. Elliot Anderson. Alex Scott and Stiller. How would you rank those three? Scott, Stiller and Anderson. How would you rank that? Or Tchouaméni, Fernandes and James Garner. You know, we won't get James Garner. But look, I think the combination has to be at least 7.5. Ideally, 8. I think if you gave me the three that you've just given me, Edison, Belaba and Wharton, I think that's a 6. And we've got to be hitting an 8, I think. Anderson, one goal, GD season, says Paul. Well, sorry, Anderson, one good season, worth 120 million. Belaba, one good, one bad equals bad, says Paul. But that's not true. You know what, Paul? I'll do my best to help you. I've been doing this for a long time, and so has a lot of this community. Please do your research. Don't believe what you read on X, right? Because Elliot Anderson, a year ago, wasn't working in a fish and chip shop. Elliot Anderson had a good season for Forest last season and this season. He's had two good seasons. The people that try and make out that Belaba's better than Anderson always use that. Anderson, one good season. Belaba, one good season and one bad season. Why was Elliot Anderson playing for England in the summer if he hadn't played football before? Anderson's had two good seasons. 100%. Do you wish you were Ollie in now so a new manager came? HF, if we'd given Ollie the interim job in January, he'd be the manager now. I'm glad we went for Carrick. I don't think Carrick should get the job, but if it's Ollie or Carrick, 100% Carrick. Ollie would have got the job. We still would have got good results under Ollie. Ollie would have played exactly the same. Ollie would have gone to a back four. I mean, this is Ollie ball. I mean, the way we're playing is Ollie ball. Low possession, counter-attacking football, back four. So Ollie would have got good results as well, and people would have sang Ollie's at the wheel. So he would have got the job anyway. So I'd rather have Carrick. Just saw a post that says Ollie is our longest-serving manager post Sir Alex Ferguson. Just shows the ambition and direction of the club in the last decade or so, says Jid. And Ava is back, says, I saw you moaning about Carrick and Belaba. Can you stop whining about the club? Carrick deserves the job. He knows the club and deserves his chance. Thanks for having an opinion, Ava. I think we'll move on. How do we even know if Xerxes and Ugarte can't play Carrick ball? No one has seen it, says Keel. And they should terminate Anana's contract, says Marlowe. I think terminating Anana's contract is going to cost you 12 million minimum. With 2 years left on his contract on 125 grand a week, it'd be 12 million to terminate his contract. We would never do that. Eugene says, I'm hearing Qatar, fairy tales. Oh, we're talking about Rio. Mate, that guy causes more problems than, his career. You know, as a legend as the club, he doesn't half cause shit. I don't even know. I heard him the other day. You know, the thing is, he doesn't acknowledge where he gets his information from, because he was talking about that lad from Alkmaar yesterday on the radio, like he'd scouted him. You know, Smith at Alkmaar, he was like, I'll tell you what, he's on the radio, right? And he's going, I'll tell you what, most people listening to this won't have heard this kid, right? But I'm telling you, his name, remember it, is Schmidt at Alkmaar, right? He might not be ready now, but he's going to be an absolute superstar, right? And I'm like, 48 hours before, we're talking about him because a journalist has spoken about him. And he's out there going, you know, a lot of people won't know who I'm talking about here, but, you know, this guy, like he's out there scouting players. I just think, I'll never forget that for me, at a train station saying, I'm hearing it's Qatar. And, you know, the one time I wanted him to be right, and he was fucking miles off, wasn't he? On his phone at a train station telling the world, I'm hearing it's Qatar. And that I will always associate him with that, because that, I knew it was wrong. I knew he was talking bollocks, but he believed it. And, you know, a large percentage of our fan base got very excited after that video, and it was complete and utter shit. Cheers from Melbourne. Second glass of red and can't agree with you more. Friday night kicking off well. Oh, I'm jealous, John. It's only the morning here. Marlow says, all successful teams have a structure and philosophy that runs through the whole club, from youth to first team. United do not. We are a moments FC all the way through, and instead of developing, we hype, says Marlow. Well, I wanted to talk about this, Marlow. I mean, there's a couple of bits from Bruno I still want to come in. Well, look, Michael, the best place to stay is what Bruno said in his interview. I've always said that Michael Carrick would be a great manager. When as a player you can see and think about the game like him, you can also do it from the bench. Of course it's different, but when you have calmness, that intelligence, you tell yourself there's potential. He's done a fantastic job since he arrived. Look, I like Bruno Fernandes. I like Bruno Fernandes. Okay, but you know when you've got a player as intelligent as he is, who is going to be player of the year quite rightly, saying Michael Carrick's done a fantastic job since he came here. Does Bruno not actually watch the games back, or does he not appreciate we have less than 50% possession and we're playing counter-attacking football? I mean, does Bruno not look at like PSG and go, that's good football? Or Man City and go, that's good football? Or, you know, Bayern Munich and go, that's good football? We do not play good football. Like, the results are good, but we do not play good football. We watch it every week. It's not good football. It's Southgate ball. It's Steve Holland bringing his England Southgate tactics to Man United. This myth that we're playing good football is that I'll argue that one. Results, brilliant. Champions League football, brilliant. But good football, come on, you're taking the piss a bit now. And I've seen some journalists talk about it. I've seen some ex-players talk about it. We are not. You can say give him the job on good results, and you can say the results have been really good. But you can't start adding in the football's been good. And I've noticed that in the last few days. I acknowledge the results are good, and I acknowledge and respect the people that want to give him the job on that. But you can't start adding bits in that aren't true. Oh, the football's been good. The football hasn't been good. There's been a lot of results where we've been a bit lucky. There's been a lot of results where we've ground it out. The football hasn't been good. So when we talk about what Marlow says about United ownership being about moments and vibes, it's not going to help that if we're going to pretend that the football's been good, because it hasn't. I think that now that Carrick's got the job, I'd actually be calling a meeting if I was Sir Jim with everybody and Carrick and his coaches, and I'd say, look, you've done a great job. I'm giving you the job, but it's got to be a lot better, because I can see where this is going. This is exactly what happened with Ollie. We gave him the job. He got complacent. He kept playing shit football and it all went wrong. You know, I want to see big things this summer, Michael. I want to see better football. I want to see better players, because you have got this job on results and I'm rewarding you with that. But I want to see better, because if you start believing this is the way Man United should play and you start believing that this is good football, we're going to have a big problem. And we need to deal with that problem before it starts. It's time to go to work now. I think... It's like doing a trial. You know, you perform well at the trial. Now you've got the job. You've got to go and do that every week and better. He's got his foot in the door. We need to see better now. I'm not buying this good performances because, well, we've watched the games. I don't think the performances have been very good. We saw, I mean, look, this is hot on the heels of one of our worst performances of the season against Sunderland. You know, against Forest on Sunday, I think we need to go and... It's going to beat them 4 or 5-0, you know, like we did Arsenal. Like we did, I know we didn't beat Arsenal 5-0, but we played well. Or Man City. I think we need to finish this season strong and show something a little bit different. Because there seems to be a bit of a movement over the last few days, and it won't help Carrick in the long run that the football has been good. And I've heard a few people say it. The football hasn't been good. The results have been good. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And if, you know, it worries me a little bit that you've got Bruno Fernandes sat there going, you know, it's been incredible, you know. And I'm like, if the players go away thinking job done and come back and reality bites, you know what those players will do. We lose 2 or 3 games next season playing shit. They won't go, ooh, time to dig in. They'll go, hey. If I was Michael Carrick, I'd realise very, very quickly, because he was there with Ollie, this dressing room will have your back when they're winning. When things go wrong, they'll stab you in the back. It'll be your fault. And for every player that's saying, give him the job now, if results start going bad, they'll go, I don't know why we gave him the job. He clearly is inexperienced. So there's a lot of work to be done this summer. A lot of work. Like I said yesterday, I'll say it again. If we get Belabor for 70 or above when we have a chance of Anderson, Tchouaméni, Tonali around that price, this board should get investigated without any questions, says Arshan. Dan says, Omar Berada surprises me. Given City's transfer record, we need to be more brutal. Must sign three midfielders. I hope United surprises, says Dan. Well, I don't think it's controversial to say that Omar Berada has done absolutely nothing to justify the success he apparently was part of at Man City. I've not seen anything from him that makes me think, you know, I was quite excited about his appointment, but I've not seen anything from him that makes me think, oh my God, you know, that ruthlessness at City is now here. Keel Robinson says, Jobe, Bellingham, Stiller and Belabor. Oh, five, maybe even a four. Callum says, why is Stiller there? Why push a Bundesliga agenda? He's the only one there, mate. And he's right at the bottom as a 3 out of 10. So it's unlikely, but you've got Stiller, Jobe Bellingham and Mecha at Dortmund, and Favel is massive on the Bundesliga. So I think having one player outside of the Premier League in the Bundesliga isn't a bad idea. The Anderson-Mainu dynamic worries me, says Lee. And Priyan says, it's my birthday. Happy birthday. Watching you for the past 6 years, you and this community has helped me a lot in my downs in life. I love football and United to the core. I wish someday I can work alongside in your channels. Well, happy birthday to you, sir. I hope you do. I hope you have a great day as well. Finally, I just got one more thing I wanted to bring in from Bruno, talking about the assist record and what he'd like to do at Man United. So talking about the Premier League assist record, he's one behind it, isn't he? He needs two to beat it. He says it's a special record because it's held by Thierry Henry and Kevin De Bruyne, two excellent players, so it'd be nice to break it, but I do not want to focus on it, even if creating chances is part of my game. Mate, I'll call you out as a bullshitter. Bruno the bullshitter, right? I think we all know, because we all watch the games together, Bruno Fernandes has been chasing that record for about three games. Like, I know Bruno. I've been watching him for years. He is playing for assists. Like, the amount of people who've said it on the watch along, you know, he wants that record and he's trying to get that record. And I think there's been times in the last few games where, you know, I think he should just let it happen naturally. But he's definitely got it. I agree with G-Man. He's definitely got it on his mind. Like, there's been certain plays where I think he should have had a shot and he's looking for an assist. He gets into certain positions to get the ball so he can play an assist. His best chance of getting an assist is Casemiro and Maguire. Corners will be where he does it. That's where he's going to do it. I'm confident he'll do it. He needs two assists from the next two games. I think he might do it against Forest. I want him to break it. I think it would be a great thing for him personally to be the, you know, to have a season where you've got more assists than anybody else in Premier League record would be in history would be incredible. And he deserves to break it, and I think he will. Two assists in two games and he breaks it. One and he equals it. I think he can do it, but it is hard. It is hard because, like all records, they naturally get in your head. You know, I remember that Jamie Vardy one where he was scoring games in, you know, consecutive games. I think Haaland actually broke it. But I think assists are harder than goals because if you don't get a chance, you can't score a goal. Whereas an assister, your game, you know, you go looking for it, don't you? He's definitely looking for it, though. I know he's definitely looking for it. There's definitely be occasions. But I think he will do it. And Brighton play quite open as well. So I think he will do it. I think he will do it. Wasn't Carrick the assistant manager under Mourinho when he played, when the players dumped tools as well? So we should know what players are like. So Michael Carrick's history at Man United, for those people who don't know, didn't start in January. Jose Mourinho finished second in the league and we had a crap summer transfer window. They didn't get him what he wanted. His assistant coach, Rui Faria, left. So we finished second in the league. Rui Faria left. Michael Carrick came in as assistant coach to Mourinho. We had a shit season. Mourinho got sacked in at Christmas. And then Carrick stayed with Ollie for another 2.5 years. So Carrick was assistant coach for 3 years, 5 months under Mourinho and 2.5 years under Ollie. So he's had he had three years as an assistant coach at Man United, and he will have seen a dressing room turn on Mourinho, and he will have seen a dressing room turn on Ollie. So there's a lot of experience there as to he's seen two dressing rooms turn on him and his manager. So, you know, and he's been sacked at Middlesbrough. So that's a positive. I mean, he literally has seen three dressing rooms turn on him. So he should by now be quite aware of those warning signs. Arshan says, like I said yesterday, I'll say it again. If we get belabored, I've done that one, haven't I? I think Rodgers is a pointless signing. Why we still have Bruno and Cunha, he wouldn't start over either. Well, I think he would. I think if you spend £80 million on a player, you start, don't you? And he also said, Bruno, winning trophies will always be my goal. What I want is to win the Premier League and the Champions League. I'll never hide it. Time is running out, Bruno. Will Bruno Fernandes... Here's a poll for you. Will Bruno Fernandes win a Premier League title? He's 32 in September. I'm just going to ask the question. Will Bruno win a Premier League title? So he's 32. This season coming up. Next season, 33. The season after that, 34. The season after that, 35. Let's say he's got two or three seasons. Can he win the Premier League in two or three seasons? I don't think we can win it next year. Funnily enough, if we weren't in Europe, I wouldn't say it's impossible, but next season's going to be really hard for us. We're going to get beat up next season. Like we're going to feel beat up. It doesn't mean we can't win the fight, but we are going to get it from all areas next season. I don't think we can win it next year. It depends what progress you make next year to whether you can do it the year after. Look, we might not be in a bad position that if Man City fall apart and Arsenal hit their peak, who's the next team coming through? Liverpool, Chelsea at the moment look a little bit, I don't think Liverpool are coming back anytime soon. Chelsea, unless they get it right, I can't see them coming back. So, look, optimistic, Bridge. Is there a chance that we could win the title in two or three years? Probably not, but it might be better than Liverpool or Chelsea's chances, and it depends what happens with Arsenal and City. I would say I'd love him to win a Premier League title, obviously, because I'd love us to win a Premier League title, and I think he deserves to win one. But under this ownership, if I had to choose, I'd say no. Yeah, I'd say no. I think he's more likely to win the World Cup with Portugal, says Slazy. Yeah, but the problem he's got with Portugal is he's got the Spanish Southgate in charge, hasn't he? Portugal should win the World Cup, but with the manager they've got, I can't see it. Jonathan says, is there any word on the left back? I was talking to my friend yesterday about the squad and the depth is paper thin. I think there is a good chance that we could sign a left back. I just haven't got a bloody clue who it would be. And Marlowe says, this is good football in Bruno's mind. This is what he knows and masters. The consistent since Ollie is Bruno and the fact that we don't master any other style than low possession and counterattack. You know what? That I didn't want to say that, Marlowe, but you've sort of said it. To Bruno Fernandes, this probably is good football because it suits him. Get the ball, counter-attack. He probably likes this style of football. I mean, Bruno probably doesn't like 70% possession. Bruno probably likes 50% possession where he gets the ball and pings it. So maybe Bruno likes this style of football, you're right. 66% say Bruno won't win a Premier League title and 34% say yes. Great show this morning. Thank you everybody for tuning in. We have a preview later. We have a press conference reaction later. Man United are playing at 12:30 on Sunday. Got no idea why we're playing at 12:30, but we are. And obviously, anything happens, breaks will go live like we have done this week. So make sure you're subscribing, getting involved with the United Stand. Take care, stay safe. You can check out Premier League predictions as well with me and Robbie. That's gone out on That's Football. Very big weekend. And let me just remind you about that. It is game week 37. We have been playing Premier League predictions for 37 game weeks. At the start of it, me and Robbie at AFTV went head-to-head and said the loser will wear the new kit of the opposing team at their ground in July. I have a 5-point lead with 2 weeks to go. Robbie What's your size of shirt? You're coming to Old Trafford to do a video in a United shirt. Get ready for it. It'll be up on the United stand. Unless I blow it, which would be the biggest choke since Spurs, I think. Does this mean that Roberto Martinez also wears a helmet riding a Peloton? Those were good days, Masrawi. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in. Have a great day, evening, whatever you're doing. I'll speak to you all soon.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now with McDonald's, wake up to a $4 breakfast meal deal. Wake up to a sausage McMuffin or sausage biscuit to hash browns and wake up to a hot coffee. Get your $4 breakfast meal deal.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.